Welcome to Brass Stacks. Today, Tuesday, 15th May, 2018. Today we host the People's Parliament. Our topic is housing and land ownership in Barbados. Where are we headed? We have representatives from three political parties to share their positions and the policies of their respective parties. With me is Mr. Paul Fort. He is a representative of the United Progressive Party from Solutions Barbados. Mr. Fallon Best, and from the Barbados Labour Party, Colonel Jeffrey Bostick. We're going until 1:30 p.m. today. A special thank you in advance to Mr. Dennis Johnson, who is the producer and telephone operator. My name is Lisa Gale, and it's my pleasure to host you today on Down to Brass Tacks in this edition of the People's Parliament. Setting a bit of context, we were independent. We were independent for some 51 years now. Prior to that, we were under Great Britain's rule since 1627. And during that time, Barbados was known as one of the largest exporters in the world of sugar. And that meant that a predominant portion of our land usage was for sugar. After that, we moved a little closer to the end of the 19th century when we had the abolition of slavery, when the king sugar continued, but there was a bit of change in the way in which the land usage was, because shortly after there was no more slavery, a lot of our workers were still tied to the lands because of a particular act which I want to mention, and that act, I'm looking for the name here, the Contract Act of 1840. And this provided that ex-slaves, they either worked on a plantation or they were forced or they faced starvation or imprisonment. And that was one departure for those ex-slaves shortly thereafter the abolition of slavery. And I think that was one of the first pieces of legislation. Subsequently, there were several pieces of legislation which dictated the way in which land and housing would have interacted. So I'm going to just stop there. We, of course, have a couple other pieces of legislation, but I'm going to give an opportunity for our panelists to share not only introduction of themselves, but to share a bit about their position on land and housing policy in Barbados. Colonel Jeffrey Bostick, you're on my immediate left, so I'll go to you first.
Good morning, moderator. Good morning, listeners. It's really a pleasure to be here on behalf of the Barbados Labour Party and to share our perspective on the topic at hand. Well, as you know, I'm a retired career military officer, and that really has a wide scope of interest in it in terms of political, military, and social security. And it is that experience that I bring to bear here today, and also as the Shadow Minister of Housing in the last parliament. And I'll be here to enunciate our position going forward, because that is where we're going, looking towards the future. And that position is quite clearly articulated in our manifesto for 2018. I will start by saying that the Barbados Labour Party believes that the first thing that has to happen in terms of future land and house ownership in Barbados is the establishment of a regulatory framework. And this is very important given the fact that we have limited land space, and so the acceptable and sustainable development of our land space is critically important to us. And it's critically important because we are having a number of competing interests for land use in Barbados, not only housing, but for agricultural purposes, commercial, recreational, and so on. And so it is vitally important that we lay out an agenda right up front that will dictate the pace of how this development will go forward or advance as we look into the future. That regulatory framework also has to set the stage for the distribution and allocation of land in the various sectors, and also in terms of housing. We believe strongly that there has to be a level of transparency in terms of allocation of public housing to Barbadians that is even greater than existed before, and certainly better than what exists today. And it is within that framework that I will be making my contributions this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Fallon-Bess from Solutions Barbados.
Good morning, Barbados. My name is Fallon-Bess, the candidate for Solutions Barbados, representing the city. Well, I'm in the shadow in trade. I've dedicated pretty much over the last decade to the built environment, worked in four different government boroughs, areas such as engineering services, corporate property management, and administering laws to critically sick and disabled persons, parks and open spaces. And I returned to Barbados 8 years ago, and some of my colleagues who I studied with at School of Architecture and Construction, they were part of the excellent staff at the NHC. We evolved Barbados from pretty much 390 plus odd plantations owning most of the land. Land in Barbados is very costly, and much of the development of Barbados in 2018, where we've come to, has been held back by that the price of home ownership. In some countries, an average home is about 7 years of someone's salary. In Barbados, that's 15 plus years of someone's salary. And what we are trying to move to is getting to that dream that many people have of owning or having an affordable house, because it's one of the basic necessities. And certainly for the city, which is the heart of the nation, and that's where I'm representing, it has been neglected. The housing stock, is still what we would call below par. We have many pit toilets, and we want to eliminate pit toilets in this country. And I don't think in 2018 that we should have that. And what we have many brilliant visions outlined by the BLP, the DLP, the UP. And what we have is something called cognitive bias. And I include the political bias in that definition, cognitive bias, that gets in the way of the brilliant staff at the NHC from executing and bringing the market to a place where these things and development permissions can be had in an efficient time, and we can create the right incentives for developers to come into the city, areas like the city, and develop. Not just develop, but also fund infrastructure for the governments to effectively create that platform for the market to take its place.
Thank you so much. Mr. Paul Fort.
Hi, good morning. Paul Fort, United Progressive Party, St. Michael East. The United Progressive Party believes strongly that the basic amenities that all Barbadians should enjoy: food, healthcare, and housing, shelter, homes. And one of our main interests is to understand, one, why Barbados is in the position it is when it comes to housing situations, and first, and secondly, ascertain what are the best avenues to take. And as such, we have a list of ideas, a list of policy programs that we would like to put in place to ensure that Barbadians can enjoy not only safe and affordable housing, but stable environment for a range of children and low-income earners. And so one of the main tenets of this here that we're going to look at doing first, as we have done with all our policies, is to go back to the people first, understand what is going on, what would have driven them to this position, what would have caused them to be in such situations they're in, and then make a decision on how we can go further better implement policies on housing and landlords in this country.
Excellent. Down to brass tacks. Okay. Yes. At this time, we would specifically look at what is before us as Barbados. 166 square miles. As Colonel Bostick mentioned, we have a small land space. Barbados is indeed a densely populated island. I looked at some of the figures. 107,000 acres, or it can be deemed as 430 square kilometers. And we know we learned in primary school about the 166 square miles. A lot of engineers and others also speak in terms of hectares, which is 43,085. So that is Barbados. We are inside of the hurricane belt, and outside of the earthquake belt. And we've not had a major hurricane in since 1955. And these are some of the considerations taken in. If we look at last year, what happened to our northern neighbors, particularly Dominica and Barbuda, they struggled because of, sometimes people argue that the stock was not necessarily prepared for that type of that impact, because I don't think there are many houses that can be prepared for a stage five of a hurricane. But our housing stock, if we look at in 2010 when we had Tomas, it was 2010, we were hit by it wasn't even a direct impact, and they argued that the housing stock was really not what it should be up to. So those are what are the types of policies your parties are contemplating as it relates to the possibility of an impact of a hurricane? That's something we will discuss later down. But one of the questions I want to ask you specifically is, what are you seeing as some of the existing challenges as it relates to our housing stock and our land policy? And then what are the specific policies that your parties are contemplating to address the challenges that we see before us, taking into consideration the dense population that we have, the small land space, and the other scenarios that present themselves with us, as you mentioned as well, the competition for not only housing, but for commercial space, etc. So I'll go, whoever chooses to take the mic first.
Okay, I'll stop. We at Solutions Barbados believe that the city is the heart of the nation. We propose with our City Vision 2030 is a vision to transform Bridgetown, that we can build another 7,000, not the government, but create the incentives to build another 7,000 residences in the core of the city within the next decade. Is it possible? There are some people that believe that Bridgetown would sink. But there are countries over the last two or three decades who've built, like Monte Carlo, 36,000 homes in 1 square mile. Yes, we can build 7,000 homes in the next decade. We can build another, we are committed to approximately a third, 2,000 of those homes being affordable homes. But we want to create incentives for others to invest in Barbados. We will have another probably a set of millionaires coming out of the region with the oil. We also have very strong pension funds in our tourism markets who have traditionally bought second homes in Barbados. And we want the city to be improved, the infrastructure of the city, as well as the opportunities for the next generation in the city to be improved, that the city will become a melting pot, but also a very encouraging place to live, with many restaurants and culinary cuisines. And we also believe that Carla Bay is one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, and we can create an atmosphere around there where we can focus a lot of development, over $1 billion in development over the next decade into the city. And therefore, we want to declare a priority zone. That is, persons will get planning permission within 7 weeks once that application is submitted by a registered architect in the city. And again, I say, we want to declare the city a priority zone for planning applications as well as for the development of its infrastructure.
Sounds good. We also have both the United Progressive Party and Barbados Liberal Party, just contemplations of what are the challenges you're facing and what are some of the policies you are looking to possibly implement if you are successful May 24th.
Paul Fort here. I understand what was said just now concerning the 7,000 homes in the city. For the UPP's position, we would like to see the city develop to a certain stage where it becomes a business hub, yes. We want to see the city develop in a way that it becomes a modern society, a modern nation city. I don't agree with 7,000 homes being placed in the city, and it's not for geological issues or structural issues, but more so because I believe the city can be a garden area where we have homes, where we have development, yes, but more so a garden where persons, like tourists and stuff like that, can come, walk around the city, see more creative arts, more development going on in terms of what we are proposing, creative economy that focuses on the individual arts within the country. We know Pelican Village years ago was a hive of activity. These are things we see more in the city. In terms of housing, though, The problems we have in Barbados, we have a lot of issues with one, and I'm not calling it neighborhoods or community slums, but a slum is determined as a cluster of homes in one small area. And we have a lot of this in the city itself. These are things we need to address. And so one of these proposals that the United Progressive Party will be looking at putting in place, and it's a proposal, not a policy, is that of high-rise buildings. And I'm going to assume your 7,000 homes includes high-rise housing.
Mid-rise.
Okay. But we need to start looking at that front. We need to start focusing, one, on moving out of the two-story structures in Barbados and going higher so that we can, one, accommodate the growing urbanization in town and just on the outskirts of town. And so this is one of the serious issues we have in Barbados. And stuff like this also creates the need or necessity for squatting. And these are things we want to focus on to eliminate such illegal, you know, settlements and stuff like that.
Before I go to Colonel Bossett, just you said a slum. You defined a slum as a place that has a lot of houses in a small
cluster. Yeah.
A cluster, but one of the fundamental elements of a slum more has to do with the impoverished nature of the group of persons that are in that same housing spot. So you can't look at Barbados then and say...
No, I'm not saying
that
Barbados.
If we use that definition, then we would simply say that there are a lot of slums in Barbados, and you're saying that there isn't.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you. That's why I said I don't want to call people community slums.
Right.
But when you sit down and think about within these small areas, these clustered areas, look at, for instance, the squatting areas. Most of these persons are low-income earners.
Right. I was not going against your thought process. I'm simply saying in your definition, you have to be very clear. Because a slum is not just a place that has a number of houses in one small space.
Taken.
Because Barbados is populated by a number of these clusters. But the defining part of the slum is the element of the impoverished nature of the set of houses that's there.
And that's what I was scared to say. I didn't want to call people community slums.
Okay, thank you.
But thank
Colonel Bossett?
Yes, thank you. I don't want to focus on the city of Bridgetown specifically, but to treat to that throughout the day as part of the urban and rural transformational program which the Barbados Labour Party has for that corridor that exists in Barbados. But before I get to that, going off on what I said in terms of establishing the regulatory framework, part of that must relate to a problem that we are having in Barbados, and that is the allocation of housing in Barbados, public housing. And we have to, first of all, create a situation where public housing is allocated to those who are in need. And we have to remove the politics from the allocation of public housing and put the people first so that those who are really in need of public housing have access to public housing. The other thing is that we in the Barbados Labour Party feel very strongly that we've lost our way, that is the country, over the last 10 years in terms of low-income housing. We believe strongly that low-income housing must be housing that is allocated to low-income earners. And in order to be able to do so, then the authorities must ensure that the construction of low-income housing is done in accordance with the costs that one would associate with low-income housing. And that is not to say that we do not believe that low-income earners deserve the best. Because if you look at the London Bone Towers, for example, you will recognize clearly that that is indeed a first-class housing estate. It was built at low-income costs, and the rental cost for London Bone is about one-third of that which exists for the newer estates that were built throughout the last 10 years by the Democratic Labour Party, namely the Grotto, Valerie, and the one there in Tweedside Road. And I'm saying that for us is a critical thing that we will be looking at going forward to ensure that we build low-income housing and allocate those to low-income earners and members of low-income communities.
Thank you so much. We're going to go to the phone lines now and hear your views on housing and land development in Barbados, where we are and where are we headed. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on People's Parliament.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Lisa, and good morning to your panel.
Good morning.
My concern with regards to housing is that we have been conditioned, or we've been conditioned by our parents, that our path to success, one, is ownership of a home. And because of that, I have seen where there is a breakdown in society. And let me explain that. In terms of, I am seeing, let's say a parent has five children. Because we have been conditioned that, as I said, in order for us to show that we are successful, everybody needs to own their own home. So what happens, we end up moving away from our parents' home into our own. And then when that parent becomes older, there's no one then who is willing to leave their home to go back home with that parent, right? And what I've seen over the years is we have a lot of buildings or homes that are left unattended, that are left to ruin and stuff like that. And I would like the panel to tell me what do they think they can do in terms, or if there's something that can be done in terms of, yes, maybe we can look at ownership of a home in a different manner or in a different way.
Interesting perspective. Only last week I was chatting with a gentleman who kind of echoed similar thoughts, and I would love to hear what the panel thinks of your position. So I'll open the floor.
Okay.
I think it's a very good question. And let me start by saying that, yes, we recognize the issue that was raised by the caller. And the Barbados Labour Party plans to work with property owners to transform Barbados's more than 15,000 unoccupied properties and some 20,000 vacant lots to viable, livable, and affordable housing solutions. And this is very important to us because the urban core in Barbados, for example, St. Michael District, so you have about 100,000 people who live in St. Michael alone. So there's severe overcrowding in several areas. And we believe that by pursuing this policy and also by looking at the 35,000 unused or housing solutions that are in the urban corridor, that we'll be able to create enough housing for those people who are really in need. But part of this has to do with relieving the stress of overcrowding and utilizing the number of vacant properties, and there are a lot of vacant properties in Barbados, that with collaboration with the owners of these properties, that we will be able to create a number of housing solutions for our people.
Thanks. Anyone wants to respond, or should we go to another caller?
I'll just insert that in other countries, you could say Germany, for instance, was devastated by a war, and they were able within a decade to basically restock. But a rising tide lifts all boats. They had the finance, they had the skill sets to build homes at a very, very rapid rate. We have the skill sets in Barbados. We have the resources in the Caribbean. We have steel industries. We have cement mills. We have timber in Guyana. And we do have trade schools, and we have contractors and project managers, and we have masons. And yet we still have not been able to supply homes and pump up, develop homes at the rate that we need to develop. What has got in the way? We have the resources in this region. So what has held it back? I alluded earlier to cognitive bias. And I said it's in the mismanagement, it's in the politics, and it's in the things that hamper the market of the built environment. And in the developing region, about 20% of our economy is actually the built environment. In a developed country, that's about 12. So we have an opportunity also to stimulate this economy by creating the incentives through economic stimulation through urban regeneration, and stimulating our built environment with the incentives to build more homes. We certainly will look at, we as Solutions Barbados do agree with that we need to develop existing lots, but there are different, it's not just developing lot, it takes finance, and it undertakes, there's a market that has to be stimulated to develop. That if people don't have any money, they can't build and they can't develop that lot. So we need incentives in the built environment, in the construction economics of it. We need the incentives, and we need a master plan, and that's why we've proposed our Urban Regeneration Authority, and to focus. If your eye be narrow, your body be light. And we've proposed to focus a lot of our efforts in the city to declare a priority zone, where we can create a stimulus of activity in the city.
Thanks. Thanks so much. I like the fact that you mentioned, not in this particular response, but the planning permission, the shortened time period for which you can get a response.
In the priority zone.
I think, right, in the priority zone, I think that has good implications. Just, Mr. Fort, quickly before we go on to the next caller.
Okay, based on the question the young lady asked, I think the response to that more so along the lines of a social response. However, in terms of the host being where the grandmother or mom lives there and no one wants to go back there, this is where public-private partnership comes in. Not only at the macro level, but here is a family, you know, that can come together, work with government so that their mother can be taken somewhere, at one of the children's home to be taken care of, and that house can be placed into the government's hands at a nominal cost, agreement, policy position, where that family can still benefit from the home ownership, even though they would have already given it up to help out the country.
Okay. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Down to Brass Tacks. Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. You know, I was just listening to the program, even though I really don't listen in on Tuesdays anymore. But by chance, I heard one of your panelists there. I don't remember if it's from the Solutions or the UPP. And he mentioned about creating a house. Hello?
We're here with you.
Right, yeah, he said that they would allow 700 people, create a system, sorry, or environment to 7,000 people, yeah, to be living in the city. That's what he said?
No, he mentioned something. I'll let you speak, Fallon.
Hi, Fallon Best from Solutions Barbados. We want to create an environment for 7,000 residences in the city. Over the next decade, by 2030, that's 12 years, our vision and target will be to create an environment, an investment environment, as well as an infrastructure and superstructure environment to develop 7,000 residences in the city. Also, I mentioned, our vision is to also encourage some of those residences to be investors and some of the linked to the tourism market from Canada. So we're going to have a mixed community of people who would want to buy into the city of Bridgetown and enjoy the surrounding Carlisle Bay, because their money and their taxpayer dollars, half of Barbados's economy of foreign exchange comes from the tourism market. So we want to invest and encourage them, just like the West Coast, to come and buy condos and penthouses and invest and come and live in the community along in Barbados, as they currently do. But we want to develop that in the city so they can bring their money, and that tax can fund the roads and infrastructure and beautiful sidewalks and pavements and planters and the sewer facilities. We want to invest that. So it has to be mixed, not just 7,000 residents of Barbados, but we want to include that to be persons, residences, residents from around the world, a global community.
Okay, so these condos will be directly within the city?
I don't remember him saying condos, but...
Yeah, he said condos just now.
No, I didn't say the word condos. Yes. But I said that would include the outline plan permission. We said in 7 weeks you would get plan permission, and that target would include up to 7 stories. The majority of it, we would include at least 60 to 70% of it would be up to 7 stories.
So you plan to reclaim land for these buildings?
I mentioned that in Monte Carlo, there are 36,000 residences were built within 2-3 decades in Monte Carlo. 36,000. We were only talking about 7,000.
But you would be reclaiming land for these houses.
Monte Carlo was 36,000 in 1 square mile. The city is more than a square mile.
But I find that's totally impossible for the city of Bridgetown that I know. Because I remember clearly that even to recite people from the city, they had to go to Clapham because you couldn't find that land space within the city to recite these people. So I don't know. That's why I ask you if you plan to reclaim land.
We don't want to put
this thing being possible for the city of Bridgetown that I know.
We don't want to push people out of the city. We want to them there to remain and to live in it. And also some, there will be government projects in the city. And we want them to remain in the city. We want the community to be mixed.
Caller, we heard you. Do you have any other suggestions other than to say that it's impossible?
I just want to get that explained, what he now mentioned to me, but I know it's totally impossible for what he now mentioned there to me. It cannot happen in the city.
You have other suggestions on how we can improve our housing stock across Barbados, outside of the city as well?
No, I didn't really plan to. It's only because I heard him mention that, that's what he called, but I didn't really want participate in the program because I thought we would never participate.
But you're listening. All right, sir. Thanks so much for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Hello. Hi. Good morning. How are you this morning, Mr. Gill?
Well, thanks. And yourself?
Not too bad. And good morning to your panel.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. Look, I want to take a little different approach from your last caller, who happened to be my good friend. I'm not speaking on behalf of any political party. I'm just speaking of my own from my own focus and my own experience tell me that, hey, I believe the city only densely populated because of the housing stock. I must say, put a proper housing arrangement in the city, bring people in the city, it could work.
Thank you.
That is what I'm saying. I am saying the city need at least 2 high-rise apartments.
Only 2?
Blocks. And if you do that, you would find that life, I mean natural life, would come back to the city. You know, after 6 o'clock, traversing the city is like a ghost town. It need not to be that way. I am saying that if people live in the city, call the city their home, life will get breathed into the city again.
Fully endorsed. Fully endorsed.
I am saying that whoever have this long-term plan to bring people, I mean real, well, can't be mock people, to bring ordinary people, right?
People of all types.
And
shapes,
all types.
Social, and whatever.
Your point is made, you know.
Your point is well made and well endorsed by everyone on the panel.
I want to go a little further.
Okay.
And say, businesses, I know they talk about Warren's, Cheriton, and all them. Now Spikestone got some blueprint that businesses, corporate business going. No problem with that, you know. No problem with that. I mean, Warren helped me out a lot because I only live in Richmond Hall, and Warren helped me out a lot. But I am saying for the novelty, right, to go into town is still there, and businesses need not, at least I believe businesses need to go back in the city, okay? Yes. Let the corporate people, them could go and play their trade someplace else, but we want the little shop that you could go and buy, you know, the little teddy bear, the pants, Lincoln. You understand where I'm going with this?
Fully so supported and fully understood.
It need business as well, right? Just like the other caller, I really don't call on Tuesdays. Like truth, I let the hopefuls have their time to dance. But I must agree. I must agree with bringing life back to the city. That's me.
Excellent. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.